Yeah, Postmates is my pal this weekend. You know, when Dwight Howard was on the show a while back, right after he signed, he said he was glad to be back because he could go back to a place on Rose Avenue in Venice called The Window for burgers. And I tried it, and I think it's the best burger in Los Angeles.
Really? Where is it?
I do. It's on Rose. They do deliver Postmates and all that stuff. It's on Rose. It's called The Window. And I think it is a killer.
And what
burger.
City is it in?
Venice. In Venice.
Okay.
Yeah, check that out. If it's good enough for Dwight Howard and me, it's good enough for you. Totally unsolicited.
Funches was showing me a picture of it today online. It is delicious. It looks so good.
He was really showing you a picture of it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was showing it to me this morning.
What brought that up?
I don't know.
He
was
there?
Yeah, maybe they were talking about it. I don't know, but she showed me a picture on the computer, and he said, "This is right down the street from Mason, and I've been trying to get him to go."
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great burger, and they deliver. Hey, Jorge, you'll be excited about this.
What's going on?
September the 28th.
Uh-huh.
Mason takes Laura,
yeah,
Jorge,
woo!
Bergman, and a listener to a local baseball game.
Julio Diaz bobblehead night.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's just a local baseball game. That's all it is.
That's so stupid.
What do you mean it's so stupid?
What is it?
That you won't say that you're going to a Dodger game.
Because you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Well, not allowed to.
No, we can't promote it, but if you're buying tickets and going on your own,
nope,
that's
can't do
completely
it.
Up to you.
Can't
that.
Do it.
Are we, in the pavilions again? We're up there.
This
with the
time
lights.
We're really going to be in the right field pavilion. We are really
okay.
going to be there.
All right.
I promise you. Last time I said, John, we would be in the right field pavilion, and instead we were in right field, but we were like way, way
top
up.
Top of the
on
pole.
The upper deck. top of the foul pole.
That sounds like you.
Yeah. I thought we were in the pavilion.
You should get the home run seats.
I think those are expensive now, the home run seats.
I have no idea how much they cost, but they look amazing.
Yeah, it's not your money, dude.
It's not.
Dugout seats. Ooh.
So thank you.
Oh, dugout club. I'm taking everybody to the dugout club.
Can you get us to like run around the bases before the game too?
Yeah, no, you don't get that either.
Oh, come on.
And it's not a Friday night, so you don't get fireworks. Stop complaining.
John, you
I'll
got any connections
it
you can help us out?
Even do it.
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
So this weekend, Rams at Indianapolis. On Sunday, it's early, it's 10 a.m., and my only concern about the Rams, and they're 3.5-point favorites, is that David Montgomery was able to run the football last week. Montgomery was able to chew up yards. I think he had 117 yards on 17 carries. The secondary, I thought, was locked down. Secondary did a great job, Jalen Ramsey and D-Long and D-Will and all the Ds. Who are in the secondary, Darius Williams and David Long and all those guys back there, Taylor Rapp. I thought the secondary did a really good job. Defense against the run is what I'm worried about because Jonathan Taylor had a really good week for Indianapolis last week. So hoping for the best. I think we're going to win that game. I get super nervous, and the dogs hide under the bed while the Rams game is actually on TV. Do you get worked up over any game to the point where Reagan, your dog, goes under the bed?
No, she stays up and watches with me. But what'll be interesting is I'm golfing on Sunday morning, and I'll be back. I'll miss the first quarter, and I'll be back in time to see the end of the first half. So I'll get back at about 11.
Matt Stafford will have thrown 3 touchdown passes by the time you get done with golf.
Excellent.
How about that?
Excellent. I just put him in my bets.
Hey, Bergie, do you ever get super worked up about the Dodgers so much that you yell and scream and scare people?
Yes, when it gets to the World Series and the playoffs, absolutely. And Lola, my dog, runs away and hides in another room under the bed.
Jorge, what about you? You seem so mellow to me.
No, man, I'm screaming and I'm like running around like the living room or walking around the living room or whatever. Just I get into it. I yell a lot.
So I've got an idea. See what you guys think of it. So we've got a really – and by the way, the playoffs are kind of underway right now. Like we're almost in the playoffs right now. We're a game behind the Giants. We've got Bueller tonight. And San Francisco has got Atlanta at home. Bueller is in Cincinnati. We'll have Bueller, Scherzer, and Kershaw. I've got an idea, and maybe this is crazy. But I think that we should consider moving Julio Urias back to the bullpen for the postseason this year, like he did last year. What do you think?
Don't hate it. You've got Kershaw.
Yep.
You've got Bueller, you've got Scherzer. I think he might hate it. He's had such a great year that, but you really, you don't necessarily need four starters, especially in the first series. It's still three out of five,
yeah,
right?
Three out of five.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think, Bergie?
So I was really on board with this idea a few weeks ago, and but as of now, the way that he's been pitching, I just don't know how you can take him out of the starting rotation. He is the third starter. It's not Kershaw. So
are you not going to pitch Kershaw?
No, so I think you have him as the fourth, and you hope that if you do go for a fourth game that you go Kershaw there. I mean, it just seems like...
You don't think Kershaw gets bent over that?
Well, I don't think he will get bent over it, but you don't want him in the bullpen. I don't want to see Kershaw coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't want to see... Although he's had some success. Remember Game 7 of the World Series in 2017?
Yeah,
relieved Yu Darvish and was great. He closed the game, Game 5 against Washington in 2016.
No, we don't need to talk about that game against Washington.
What do you mean he closed that series?
Oh, they're not talking about the one about 2 years ago gave up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches.
Game 5, he got the save. He threw two innings and got the save. So he has pitched out of the bullpen with some success. I want to throw that out there. I know he's an 18-game winner. I know he's probably going to win 20 games. I know he's had a spectacular year.
How do you
do that? It's a great question because, Greg, think about they'd almost be unbeatable.
Well, they're pretty much there now, but at the same time.
No. The Giants are good, and they're going to face the Giants maybe in that first series, right, Mace?
Yeah, first series would be against the Giants.
If they win the wild, it comes down to the wild card.
One way or the other, whether we're the wild card or we win the division, we're going to face the Giants.
Well,
in the
you
first
could
round.
Also, and by the way, if you want to weigh in on this, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mace, you could almost decide after the first two games. Because assuming you can set your rotation, and by the way, that's not a safe assumption. They may have to play till right at the end of the year. But if you pitch Scherzer game one, Bueller game two, then Urias, you can decide if you're up 2-0, maybe you throw Kershaw in game three and you use Urias in the bullpen. You'll have some rope to play with there. It's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly radical idea. He was great last year in the put. Remember, he was on the mound when we
won Game 6
for him. Series.
Yeah, pitched four innings in that series.
Yeah, and then was on the mound when we won Game 6, exactly. 877-710-ESPN, radical idea. Jorge, what do you think? You're a huge Urias fan.
I am, and I don't think it's fair to take him out just like that. Look, what if you put Kershaw in and he struggles on that one game or whatever you put him in? Now you're going to be
you're not going to pitch him in the one game, but you would pitch him in like game three of a series.
Okay, but he struggles. Then you're going to be thinking, oh, we should have gone with Urias. And then you see, it is a tough question, just like you said. So I don't know. Let's ask the people.
Okay, let's ask the people. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, I think this is the weekend we catch him. I think on Monday we either lead or more likely I think we're tied. I think we can sweep Cincinnati. I think they probably win 2 out of 3 against Atlanta. And we wake up Monday morning, and we are in a flat-footed tie for first place in the National League West. And then it is just a horse race. This is the best pennant race. This is two teams that are on pace to win 100-plus games, going toe-to-toe during the final five series of the year. This is one of the great pennant races, and I don't think I'm exaggerating this, right? It's not hyperbole. This is one of the great pennant races of our lifetime, I think.
Well, there's never been anything like it between the Dodgers and the Giants. I mean, that is going to result in them potentially meeting in the playoffs. There were some pennant races, you know, back in the Bobby Thompson one's the most famous one. But there's never been anything like this. And, again, it's likely that whoever loses the NL West race is going to win the one-card playoff, one-game playoff, and face the other one in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, barring an upset in the wild card game, we are looking at Dodgers-Giants, which has never happened before in the playoffs.
I'd almost be tempted, thinking a little bit more about your idea, I'd almost be tempted to pitch Scherzer, Bueller, Urias in the best of five and try your idea in the NLCS of the World Series where you have seven games where you could stretch Urias out over those seven. But again, you got to talk to him. He might be baseball's only 20-game winner.
Yeah, but if you use him out of the pen, he can pitch in back-to-back games. So you can pitch 3 days in a row. You wouldn't want to pitch him 4 days in a row, but pitch him 3 days in a row. I mean, I just think he could be so versatile out of the pen. And, you know, bullpens, it's a cliche, but bullpens do win championships. Gives you another lefty down there. Not that that matters anymore. I don't think the lefty thing matters anymore because you got to be in there for three hitters no matter what. So I don't think it's – I mean, our best lefty is Vesia. He's probably the lead lefty that we've got. But add another lefty to that. Do you think the lefty thing matters anymore?
No,
since
I don't.
We got to face three hitters.
I don't. And those pitchers, those three pitchers are so good that and you know what? Part of this question will be answered whether or not the end of the season tweaks your pitching rotation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So, in other words, let's say you got to use Scherzer and Buehler on the final
last
weekend
of the
year.
Season. Yeah.
Then you don't even consider this idea. You because you would need to start Urias in game one and Kershaw in game two.
Absolutely. You would.
But if they can set their rotation, then it's something to think about. You want to take a call on it?
Yeah, take
here's,
a call.
Here's CJ on line two. He's on the 91 freeway. Hey, CJ, what do you think of this idea?
Dude, first of all, best show always, number one in California.
Thank you, CJ.
Mace.
Yeah.
Dude, you're sitting up here on radio suggesting you want to take Julio Urias, who's going to soon to be a 20-game winner. He ain't stopping at 18. He's also a stopper. You don't take him out of that rotation. If you want to put somebody in there, try Tony Gosselin. He was a little better in his last outing. You put Kershaw in there because Kershaw has not been in the rotation while he was out with an injury.
Would you put Kershaw in the bullpen?
Yes.
I wouldn't. He's never, you know.
I would. Okay.
Well, you know what, CJ, you might be right. CJ, you might be right because, Mace, let's face it. If we were lining up our starters,
yep.
Kershaw's the four this year.
Yeah, Kershaw is the four.
So using CJ's logic, and Kershaw has pitched situationally out of the bullpen, that may be the way to go. CJ, I don't think you're crazy.
Yeah,
CJ's
not crazy. He's fired up.
I like that. All right, we'll take more of your calls on this. 877-710-ESPN.
All right, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Monday is your chance. John, if I ask you right now, two Super Bowl teams and the score, and we'll do this throughout the year because it'll change. What do you think?
Wow. I would have said 2 weeks ago, I would have said Rams-Buffalo.
Yep.
But Buffalo looked pretty shady.
Pedestrian. Yeah.
It's tough to make the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, which we'd be asking the Chiefs to do. Let me go Rams Raiders.
Oh, shut up.
Final score.
Yeah.
Rams 30, Raiders 31.
Oh.
I love that pick.
Never happening. Never happen. You lose $1 million with that pick.
By the way, I can change throughout the season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I might want to kick the Rams out.
Yeah, Rams Chiefs 35-31.
Okay.
Rams Chiefs, which would be a great Super Bowl. All right, so I forwarded this idea, and I granted, it's radical. It's radical. But I've seen Julio Urias pitch out of the bullpen. He was on the mound when we won Game 6 against Tampa Bay last year. And I suggested, well, what if we were to take our 18-game winner and turn him into the Uber reliever? Remember, we'd need 27 outs in each game. Doesn't matter which outs. You can get the first 13, first 15, or you can get the last 14 or whatever those math numbers work. Thank you. It doesn't matter where your innings are. The idea of starting could be a little bit overrated. Remember David Price in the 2018 World Series? He beat us out of the pen. I mean, starters can beat you out of the pen. It happens. So a lot of people are lit up about this.
Let's go to Dave and Pico Rivera on line six. Hey, Dave, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
For the sake of argument, I could understand the idea that you don't want to mess with a 20-game winner's mojo. You want to let them ride. You want to come out as a starter. But what we're forgetting here is that last year Julio was the number three starter behind Kershaw and Buehler, and he started game three in the NLCS and game three in the World Series. Dave Roberts used him like a magician. No one knew he was coming out, and it didn't alter his routine. So this year the difference is that we have other guys to fight over that not Julio's exact spot, but for the lefty behind Vestia. And it's a first-world problem, whether it's going to be Price or Kershaw. Plus, you have other guys in the bullpen, and not to mention Max Scherzer at the top of that rotation.
Right.
So it's a luxury to have right now. But, yeah, I think you do the same thing as you did last year. You don't depend on him to be your savior. When you're doing well in the series and he's already had his start, it's a first-world problem at that point.
Yeah.
All right,
you make a really good point. So last year, Julio did start Game 3 of the NLCS, did start Game 3 of the World Series. They brought him back. After he started Game 3, Dave Roberts brought him back to close out Game 6. So it may be some combination of he starts and then he relieves. He piggybacks somebody. That may be the right answer. It maybe is too radical to pull him from the rotation altogether. Let's see who else thinks.
Let's go to Francisco in Riverside on line five. Hey, Francisco, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi there, Mason and Iron. I love this show. I love it. You guys are amazing and great. But Mason,
yeah,
you're crazy. Why put the Cy Young Award winner on the bench? He's been pitching great for us this whole time. And plus, our bullpen has been outstanding, amazing. No reason why to bring him to the bullpen. Kershaw, he just came back. There's no need to put him in as a starter. I say we keep what he is as a starter, keep our bullpen how it is, and bring in Jansen to close this thing out.
All right, Francisco, thanks for that. Mace,
thanks, Francisco.
It's not a crazy idea because you, if we do your idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, the only thing that matters is what gives you the best chance to win and advance. That's it.
Right.
Like, you can't worry about anybody's feelings. You can't worry about, you know, who's going to be mad that they don't start, blah, blah, blah. If you think you can pitch Urias in all three games of a best three out of five series, you got to consider it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
yeah.
that they're going to do it, but I don't think your idea is nuts. By the way, though, so did you see the way the Dodger pitching rotation lines up this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we're set. Buehler, okay. Scherzer, and Kershaw.
Right. And so Buehler, in four starts against the Reds, has an ERA of 2.9. Scherzer, in eight starts with the Dodgers, has an ERA of 0.88.
Ooh.
And Kershaw, in his last three starts against the Reds, 0.78. So they got a real chance to sweep this series with those three guys going. And that means if the Giants even lose once, then the Dodgers are tied for first place.
Hey, I wanted to get one thing in here. We got Lie of the Day coming up. If you think you know the lie, get ready to call 877-710-ESPN. At some point today, I'm telling a lie. So I noticed it's National Play-Doh Day. Did you ever play with Play-Doh?
Yep.
So my brother, you, Jorge?
I still do.
You still play with Play-Doh?
Yeah, with my 3-year-old daughter, of course.
Oh, sure, of course. So my brother Brian got into this very bad habit of eating the Play-Doh. He ate so much Play-Doh that it had to be taken away. And I can tell you at the
did
end
have,
of the
did
day.
Did he get sick?
No, did not get sick. Instead, it was just, at the end of the day, it was a rainbow. It was a complete rainbow. My brother would not stop eating the Play-Doh. So I noticed that on that it's National Play-Doh Day, and I wanted to tell that story and see if I could embarrass my brother Brian, who lives down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All right, coming up next for you is Lie of the Day. At some point today, I told a lie. If you think you know what it is, we'll take three callers. If you think you know what it is, you can win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. And you guys, do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think I've got it.
You've got it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Jorge, do you have it?
Yeah, I got an idea.
Okay, and Bergie?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Okay, I think we're going to go with Bergie from now on. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Marco Magdaleno on email, wrong Mace Kershaw in the bullpen.
If push came to shove, I think that's probably what would happen.
All right, so lie of the day. At some point today, I told a lie. If you think you know what it is, we got three callers lined up. We only take three because it can be, the lie can be really, really tough. John, you want to bring them up?
Maybe I'm thinking too simply, but I think this is easy. Paul in L.A. is up first. Hey, Paul, you get the first crack at this. What do you think Mason's lie was today?
Hey, you guys made it too easy for me. The lie of the day was Play-Doh Day was actually yesterday.
Yeah, Mason, I think that's it, too. I think you forgot to tell a lie and completely made up the Play-Doh story. By the way,
Paul, you're absolutely right. How did you know Play-Doh Day was yesterday?
Because I have a 3-year-old and I also have a Google app on my phone. So while driving, I was able to pull it up.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Paul, you win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. Congratulations, man. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Paul.
Did you say I want to get to the Dodger game?
What's that?
Did you say I want to get to the Dodger game?
No.
Nice try, though. Yeah, good.
We're not allowed to give those away.
Nice try. Good effort.
All right, man. See ya. Yeah. All right. By the way. Bergman.
Yeah. Yes?
Was that not the worst job of Lie of the Day ever?
Yeah.
It may have been. I've only been on the show for a couple of weeks back, but
what do you think?
I turned around and I told Bergman, that's the lie. You forgot to do it all show.
Mace, you completely forgot to tell a lie.
Yep.
Then you were reading the tease for it coming up and you went, oh, crap. I had no lie, and then you just made up some absurd thing about your brother eating Play-Doh.
Especially when we said it's our rainbow.
It's a rainbow! Yeah,
it will be tough for anyone to do a worse job at Lie of the Day than that.
I agree. I totally forgot to lie. That's generally because I'm a super honest person.
Yeah, not so much.
Okay, real quick, we were doing today from Ask Men, 40 traits that make a man extremely attractive. And we did a few of these. There are 40 of them, so we'll do a few more. Bergie's here and Jorge's here. Here we go. You don't play games when it comes to other people's feelings.
Oh, no, I play games with other people's feelings all the time.
Of course you do. All the time?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I mean, don't you? You just told a lie on the radio.
Yeah, but you said it wasn't even a good lie. I told a bad lie.
Normally, your lies are good.
What about you, Bergie?
No, I actually hate games, and I refuse to play them, so no.
What are you talking about? We're playing a game in 10 minutes.
No, games with people's feelings. John.
Feelings. No, I'm playing with your feelings with this game. I'm telling
Jorge,
you that right
now. Jorge, do
you
mess with people's feelings?
No, I don't, man. I don't. I try not to.
Okay, you're not afraid to cry during an emotional movie.
I cry with Coda. On Coda.
I teared up at the end of Coda.
Yeah.
I do not cry in movies at all.
Have you seen Coda?
I have. It was fantastic, but I don't cry.
Wait a minute. You don't cry in any movies?
No, never have. Not once.
What are you talking about?
I'm a robot.
Come on, man.
I am a robot. I swear. I've had this conversation. I do not cry in shows or movies.
Is that a choice?
No, it just doesn't. It never hits me like that.
You didn't cry at the end of Field of Dreams?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
or Toy Story
not.
3?
I cry in everything.
Toy Story 3, that's another one.
Mason, it was sad, but no.
Mason, I cried in Up. When the guy's wife dies,
first
it's
5 minutes
in.
Oh, yeah.
What are you, a stone statue?
I am. I don't know what to tell you. This is like it's a real thing. It just doesn't happen.
Mace, we're gonna come up with a movie that's gonna make Bergman cry.
Good luck.
What the hell?
Have you ever seen Brian's Song?
I have, a long time ago.
Have you ever seen Something for Joey? Do you know what that is?
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, okay, so there's this running back that played at Penn State, and he won the Heisman Trophy. John Cappelletti. Then he went and played for the Rams after that. And his little brother got diagnosed with leukemia. And at the Heisman Trophy banquet, he gives him the Heisman. If you don't tear up at the end of that, you are just emotionless.
Well, it's going to be very sad. And I know when things are sad, I can tell like the difference. It just getting the tears to actually come out of my eyes doesn't happen.
I just pulled up a list of 17 movies that make men cry.
Rudy? You haven't seen Rudy?
Rudy.
Rudy's fake.
No, he was kidding.
Joe Montana said they were mocking that guy.
Right. Mace is like, yeah, Rudy.
We had Bob Golic on the show once, and he goes, that guy was an idiot. We didn't even like him.
One of the movies was Turner and Hooch. Now, who cries at Turner and Hooch?
Well, doesn't Hooch die in the end?
Yeah, Hooch dies at the end. I mean, that is extremely sad.
So, would that make you cry?
No.
What else is on that list?
Here are the other ones. Saving Private Ryan?
No, that's not a cry movie.
Shawshank Redemption?
That's a really good movie, but that's more positive. I didn't cry on that one, but it's a good one.
It's a Wonderful Life?
No. I mean, again, it ends positive.
Philadelphia?
Yeah. I didn't watch that one.
Rocky? You didn't watch Philadelphia?
Why didn't you watch Philadelphia?
I don't know. I just never appealed.
Tom Cruise won the Oscar for it.
Yeah? I don't watch all Oscar movies.
I am Spartacus.
You're going to cry at saying Gladiator I am
on
Spartacus?
There? Gladiator?
Gladiator.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, that was sad at the end with the hand thing. Yeah, that was good.
No heart.
Nope.
No heart.
Wow.
All right. You want to do one more here?
Yeah. Bergman,
you're
this
shocked.
This is very disappointing.
It's not on purpose, John. I wish it was.
You're like the Tin Man. You have no heart.
You have no heart.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Last one here. Are you afraid of commitment?
Well, obviously not. We've all been with the same people forever.
Pretty much in long-term relationships.
All of us are solid in that department, right?
Yeah, but I know a bunch of guys who are.
I committed to the show.
I went on a guy's trip, you know, this week, and we were talking one night at dinner. How would you guys handle this? Now, this did not happen on this trip. Someone brought it up that it happened on a previous trip, and now this guy will not go on this trip again. And he said one of the reasons is, he said, all the married guys, the minute they got away, cheated. In other words, when it was a guy's trip and they all went out of town, there were eight guys and three of them were like cheating every night.
You're saying on this trip there were three guys cheating?
No. I just explained to you that somebody told a story that said on the previous golf trip they'd been on, they were with like eight guys and three of them cheated. So now he's not comfortable going on the trip anymore. If you went out with one of your guy friends and you know his wife and he's cheating, what do you do?
Well, I guess I'm not a narc.
Yeah.
I would be extremely disappointed, but there's no way I would go to his wife and say something.
Yeah, I don't think he can. But I wouldn't go on trips with that guy anymore.
No, I wouldn't either.
I would lose respect for that guy. Yeah, put you in an impossible spot.
I think fidelity is very underrated.
Well, it's also very rare.
No, it's not. It's not rare.
I work in professional sports. Are you kidding?
Well, in professional, correct. Professional athletes, it's different. Like us guys, fidelity is a good thing.
You'd be surprised.
Us guys?
I guarantee you there is someone we're working with. I don't know who it is, but just statistically, there's someone that we're working with, could be a woman, that's cheating.
Mm-hmm. Currently cheating, like as of this moment right now?
Yep, right now, right this second. They're shacked up in a hotel in Culver City.
That's very specific.
John Chin went on vacation.
I have much more faith in the people we work with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Expect the best. You usually get it. That's what I say. All right, so look, here's the thing. It's just... we've done the best we can, but there is so much stuff today that is going on. So much in sports. I mean, The Dodgers, these are basically playoff games now at this point. The Dodgers have Walker Buehler on the mound versus the Reds in Cincinnati. I think that game is starting like at 4:30 or something like
right.
that.
Right. Oh, by the way, somebody just sent me a tweet. Ireland, you owe Mason for Kenley Jansen bet about 30 saves. It's 35 saves, 35 but you're going to get it. He's at like 33 now, right?
Yes. I am definitely going to win that. He's at 33.
And didn't we – it's a big bet, right? It's like 10,000?
10,000, yep.
Yeah, geez.
10,000 straight up. You never thought
I'm
that gonna was
going to happen. I'm going to be down to nothing.
We got both our college team. We got UCLA. It's a whole new world. They're playing Fresno State this weekend. 11.5 points, I think, is the number now. Dante Williams effect is going to go on with USC. Dante Williams, interim head coach. Watch for USC to play big against Washington State.
Be careful of the Palouse. Be careful. At Washington State is hard.
And my Rams. Who's us? Rams house. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Rams at Indy facing Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor. I love the Rams in this spot. I feel comfortable. I feel confident. I feel like our run game, our run defense will tighten up. I think we'll see a little bit more of Darrell Henderson. And look out for Matthew Stafford going downfield. The guy that I said with J.B. Long last week at the golf tournament, the guy I thought that could be a surprise was Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson looks like a guy that can take the top off of defense. He did it this past week.
Bergman, someone just texted me and said, did you cry in earnest, scared, stupid?
I mean, at that point, when I was a kid at that age, I was pretty dang scared. So, yeah, probably.
There you go. The last movie that made Greg cry is Ernest Scared
which he,
Stupid.
Which, by the way, he claims is the scariest movie he's ever seen.
For me, at that time, it was extremely scary, and all the people on Twitter were fully in agreement with me, because Twitter is real life.
Twitter is real life. All right, coming up next for you, Ireland, is it your game today?
Yep.
Score in the month of September, Bergie 4, Jorge 2, Ireland 2, Mason 2. So it is a horse race. Me and Bergie and Jorge will be playing.
All right, so the theme
today.
Of this game, name of this game is ABB, anybody but Bergman.
Excellent.
I'm
Shading
winning, buddy.
It away from Bergie.
You could win this, Greg. It is a game. As a matter of fact, I'd make you the favorite now that I think about it.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. So
all
we'll
right.
See.
We will find out next in Game of Games. Game of Games time, and Bergie's got the lead this month. Ireland is doing the game. I didn't expect Bergie to be a ringer, but so far he's been very good in the month of September. Ireland, what's the game?
All right. So in honor of the NFL being back in our lives, week two started Thursday night, and the Rams play game two on Sunday. I have an NFL-themed name that player.
Okay.
I will begin describing a current NFL player. As soon as you know who I'm talking about, your name is your buzzer. Buzz in. Here we go. I got seven of these and a tiebreaker.
Okay.
All right. Here's player number one. This player plays in the AFC. He has played his entire career with the same team. He played both high school and college football in Mason's home state of Ohio. Mace.
That's Ben Roethlisberger.
That is Ben Roethlisberger.
Ooh, wow.
And Mace is on the board.
Very nice done.
Impressive.
Nicely done.
All right, player number two. This player plays in the NFC. His dad played in the NFL, winning three Super Bowls. In high school, this player played cornerback, wide receiver, punter, and the position he plays now, running back. Like his dad, he played college football at Stanford, where he finished second in the Heisman voting. Greg.
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey is absolutely right. Second in the Heisman voting to Derrick Henry in 2015. All right. Mason has one. Bergman has one. Jorge, you alive out there?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This player was taken with the 13th overall pick, but if you did that draft over, he would go number one now.
Mason.
Mace.
Josh Allen.
No.
I thought I'd take a shot.
That was a random. Okay.
All right. Coming out of high school, he was only a three-star recruit and considered the 37th best player at his position. He's been in the league for 7 years and has gone to the Pro Bowl seven times. At the NFL Combine, he set the record for the fastest 40-yard dash for a defensive tackle, 4.68.
Greg.
He wears – Greg.
Is it Aaron Donald?
It is Aaron Donald. Yeah, he wears number 99 and is considered the best player on the Rams, and Bergman has taken a 2-1 lead.
Insurmountable.
All right. Player number 4. Although this player is a free agent and technically not on a team right now, he has not retired.
Greg.
So a lot of people think he's not done. Greg.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald, it's correct.
Wow. I was going to go Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
Also
Bergman 3, Mason 1. Jorge, where you at?
Aquí. Sí. Aquí.
All right. Next one. This player was a two-sport athlete in college where he was an excellent baseball player along with being
Greg.
A football star. Greg.
Russell Wilson.
Incorrect.
Oh,
Mason.
I know who it is.
Jorge.
Mace.
Kyler Murray.
No. Jorge, listen to the rest of the clues because nobody else can guess. In his junior year of college, he led all Division I players in passing yards with over 5,000 yards and total touchdowns 53. Then, when he became a starter in the NFL, he joined Peyton Manning as the only players in NFL history to throw 50 TD passes and 5,000 yards in a single season. He is one of only 4 African-American quarterbacks to win an NFL MVP, joining Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, and Steve McNair. He has played in the last 2 Super Bowls, winning in 2020 and losing last year.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is it, and Jorge is on the board.
All right. Ooh, that was a good one. That was a good one.
All right, Greg.
Should have waited. Should have waited.
Mason 1. Jorge 2. Whenever you jump in is critical. Okay. Here we go with player number 6. This player played his college football in the Pac-12. As an NFL player, he is a 4-time Super Bowl champion, a 5-time Pro Bowl selection, a 4-time first-team All-Pro, and was selected into the NFL's 2010 All-Decade team and the NFL's 100th anniversary All-Time team. He's played for 2 teams in his career, one in the AFC, the other in the NFC, and he's won a Super Bowl with both. He has the most career postseason receiving yards by a tight end, the only tight end in NFL history to reach 1,000 or more yards in the playoffs. Almost all of these yards have come on passes thrown by Tom Brady.
Greg. Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski, and Bergman locks it up. All right, we'll do the last one just for fun.
I was like, Arizona.
Yeah. All right. This player was the only guy from his college ever to be taken in the first round of the NFL draft. He holds the all-time NCAA record for forced fumbles and is also tied for career tackles for loss in the NCAA. In 2015, he became the first player in NFL history to be selected first-team All-Pro at 2 different positions, defensive end and outside linebacker, in the same season. Inexplicably, 3 years later in 2018, the Raiders traded him to the Bears for Greg.
Khalil Mack.
Mack is it. All right, and we will do the tiebreaker just for kicks.
Just for the hell of it.
All right, closest in the number, doesn't matter if you go over. New Rams quarterback Matt Stafford has thrown for over 45,000 yards in his career. How many yards per game does Stafford average? Greg, since you won the game, I'll let you go first.
304.7.
All right.
304.
Mace.
285.
Jorge.
305.
Oh,
winner
you jerk.
The tiebreaker is Steve Mason. The answer is 273.3. For Matt Stafford. We'd take 273 against the Colts this weekend.
Absolutely. We're going to get more. On Sunday.
We hope so. All right. So, if you guys could only watch one thing this weekend.
Yep.
So, either the Dodgers, USC, UCLA, Rams, Raiders, or Chargers. That's it. Mace, you have to pick one and you get shut out of the other stuff. What are you watching?
What do you think I'm watching?
I think you're going with the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams, absolutely.
Greg, I think you're going with the Dodgers because you get 3 games.
Ooh, that's actually a good point, but no, I was going to go with UCLA.
All right, Jorge?
Wow.
Dodgers.
I thought you would say Niners and go off the board.
Well, I'm working on Niners, yeah.
Yeah, I also would go Dodgers because there's more on the line with the Dodgers.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
If all those other teams lose,
oh, don't even say it.
They can recover from it. If the Dodgers were to lose more than one game this weekend, it could be devastating. So I'm all in on the Dodgers for the weekend. I think it's starting the game, does it start at 4 or 4:30?
4:10.
So it's right around the corner.
Oops, you know what? Postmates just dropped off.
Oh. What'd you order?
Popeyes.
Oh, that's you're seriously.
About time to burn one and eat some Popeyes.
So
weekend,
you realize how old you are, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, what's wrong with Popeyes?
Nothing's wrong with Popeyes, and nothing's wrong with weed. But the fact that that's all you're going to intake for the whole weekend is a problem.
You're forgetting about donuts.
Get those donuts. What kind of donut are you getting?
I love the vanilla cream. I like the vanilla cream, and a great old fashioned is underrated. And I also dig a maple bar and a cinnamon roll.
Oh, those are all really good.
Oh, you guys are bad.
Five.
I haven't had Krispy Kreme, so I'm stopping by today.
All right, there you go. Update: the Raiders have ruled Josh Jacobs out for Sunday's game against the Steelers.
Ooh.
Which is a little disappointing, and it means the Raiders will only win by 25 points instead of
30. Yeah. All right, so. Go Dodgers, go Rams, go Trojans, go have fun this weekend.
Niners.
Niners.
Screw you.
UCLA, whatever. coming up next for you is Sedano and DeMarco Farr. We'll be back Monday to break down all of it, 12:55 sharp, and it'll be Million Dollar Mondays. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.